Hi, I'm Candace Michelle, and this is the second podcast in the series about the 100-year celebration of the Central Building. And I'm sitting here with Carolyn Milliman and Curtis Wolgamuth. I know I got it right that time, right?
Very good, Candace. Very good.
See, I just keep practicing that name. I'm going to... And in our first episode, we were talking about the Saturday celebration that's coming up, which is actually marks the 100-year celebration of the Central Building. We're going to talk a little bit this time about the walking tour and what some of the places are that are on that walking tour, because I'm really just amazed at how much history this town actually has. You know, when I was talking to Eldon the other day, it was, you know, he was talking about the logging and how every 5 minutes when he first got here in the 70s, there was a logging truck going down the road. I mean, this was a different place then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was like the Wild West.
Yeah, definitely.
So where are some of the places that are on the walking tour that, I mean, obviously we've got the Central Building, which is an amazing building in its own right and has a tremendous history.
Yes. Yes, we have the Central Building. That was the original lumber offices in the 1915. Hmm. And so the history of the Central Building goes back quite a ways in 100 years.
Wow.
And the Redwood Theater also is one of the spots on the tour, as well as the 1920 Firehouse.
Now, the Redwood Theater, because I was looking at this walking tour, and it mm-hmm. seemed like what they were saying was that it was a, I don't know, a community building or something. It was. They said that the biggest amusement were the chickens under the building that would constantly disrupt the church and town meetings. I mean, that's pretty amazing, right? So you're at a town meeting and you hear chickens going. That would be a little odd. And the firehouse, now that's no longer a firehouse, but that's over on Fleet Street.
Yeah, that is. Well, there's actually a sign shop. That's actually a dental office now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wasn't aware that that was a firehouse myself.
Yeah.
So I'm learning as we go about the history by looking through this booklet, which was put together by Jennifer White. She did an amazing job.
Yes.
And Eldon and Rosalie helped a lot with getting her the photos of these older homes and buildings.
And the mill workers evidently had their own houses, which were separate from the kind of owners and
the owners.
Stuff.
And those were down Pacific, mm-hmm. Pacific and Wharf, Wharf.
Right.
And
you can actually see examples of what the mill houses looked like. I mean, it's just what a history this place has.
Yeah, the town itself has a lot of history in it, and the Checo Inn is another perfect example of that.
Yep.
Lots of movie stars used to come here, and used to be the spot.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, I can only imagine. I would just, you know, sometimes I wish I was, you know, back then in those days.
I know
that all the time, but very nostalgic that way.
Now, I've often thought how interesting would it be if you could get into a little time capsule and go back 100 years and see what it looked like, where you were standing, what that looked like 100 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be amazing. And, you know, the nice thing about this booklet is it's got pictures in it, so you can actually see what things
look like.
I know.
It's absolutely.
The Veterans of Foreign War.
Oh, I know. I love it.
Yes.
That one will be open, too. That's another event that will be happening Saturday.
Good.
And they'll have that open from 10 to 4.
Excellent.
And the Daughters of the American Revolution will be hosting that.
Excellent.
So they'll be...
All right, I think that we are going to take a little break and listen to Eldon some more. He's got some more great stories to tell.
Great.
Can you tell us who is sponsoring this event?
There are several sponsors, and without them, we wouldn't be able to do the things that we're going to be doing. The first one that I have that I wanted to mention was the VFW. Some of our larger sponsors and none are more important than the other, but they did all help us to be able to do this, put this event together. We have Bernie Bishop Mazda, Oregon Coast Realty, the City of Brookings, the Daughters of the American Revolution, Brookings Harbor Chamber of Commerce, Checo Activity Center, Brookings Signs and Graphics, Creative Works Company, Curry County Cruisers, the Emblem Club, number 265, the Trinity Lutheran Church, Pelican Bay Arts Association, Hardbrook Jewelers, Seaview Senior Living Community, Angels Landing, Pacific Rim Coffee Center, State Farm with Darren Farmer as the agent, Babin Law PC, Redwood Cinema, Feather Your Nest, Les Schwab, Gypsies, and Dottie's Corner. These are all very important, and without them we couldn't have done this. So we wanted to say a big thank you to all of our sponsors. Thank you so much.
When I got here, it was one of the most active towns I think I'd ever been in. There were something like 600 commercial licenses, fishing licenses. The logging was unbelievable. There was, I can remember the logging trucks going through town, and I would say every 5 minutes there was a logging truck coming through town on Chetco Avenue. I have seen cars pulling boats backed up on Highway 101 waiting to get down to the port to launch. It was that busy. Now, that also brought a lot of beer drinkers, the people right down in the middle of town. We had problems with getting broken windows. I remember the attorney across the street, he finally had to board his up. I think Robert Kerr next door, he boarded some of his windows up. I had several windows broken, but I just replaced them. But that was the excitement of the town, and it was. I can remember one Sunday morning going out, somebody had shot somebody out on Chetco Avenue. We had the pine cone here. We had the green door across the street. And they had a natural clientele, and people would go to their favorite beer joint to drink beer. But along about 9 o'clock, they wanted to know what was going on across the street. So everybody at the pine cone would walk over to the green door, and the green door would walk over to the pine cone to see what in fact was going on over there. And then at 11 o'clock, they decided it was time to go back. And it was that 11 o'clock when the beer bottles got thrown through the windows, when people got shot or stabbed. It was just, nobody got hurt too bad. Now let me tell you, the Spotted Owl was a disaster. Between fishing going down and the Spotted Owl, it almost left Brookings a ghost town. It's never been the same. Interest rates went up to 18.5%. That drove everybody out. Nobody could sell their homes. The only people that could sell were the people that could afford to carry their own paper. The banks, nobody wanted an 18.5% loan. You just couldn't afford that. Production credit came in here about 1978, and they were handing money out to everybody, and the fishermen were buying new boats. The logging companies were buying new trucks, new equipment. And that was based on interest rate being prime plus 2%. And interest rate was 6% in 1978 and 79. This was one of Jimmy Carter's programs. Within 3 years, interest had gone up to 18.5% on housing and was up at 20 and 22 and 25% on boats, trucks, equipment. And people just walked away from them. They couldn't pay for them. We even had some people commit suicide here in Brookings because I was seeing it here, but I didn't realize the same production credit was going on back in Kansas, where my family lived, and my uncles had borrowed this cheap money, had bought farms that they really couldn't have afforded, and couldn't afford when the interest went back up, and it created problems clear across America, and really right here.
So tell me about this building. Was this one of the first buildings that was built in the town?
No.
What's the history of the Central Building?
No, the Central Building was not the first building. There were other buildings that were more important. They had to have a commissary. So the Brookings Commissary was built over on Pacific Avenue. That was built about 1913. They built a little bank. They had to have a bank. They had to have a hospital, so they built that. There was a lot of things that was in either built or in the process of being built before the Central Building got built. But it was the administration building for the company, and they needed a building. And the building was designed. It was all open inside. There was three offices up front on either side of the incoming door, and then there was this room. This was the resident engineer. I've got his sign that this was Bill Ward's. This was his office, and this is where he did all of his work. So we had a resident engineer in here, but this building was designed to handle the bookkeeping, and the bookkeeping was atrocious. Every ship that went out of here with lumber had a log, and every board on there was accounted for, and the weights were accounted for. When they got down to San Francisco and they unloaded in San Francisco Bay, Brookings bought two big lots down there where they could bring their lumber and distribute it from down there. They could unload it, reload it, and then put it on boxcars and ship it wherever it had to go. Then they came back up here. Now, when they came up here, they carried supplies as far north as Portland. So the ships would load up with supplies, and they would bring cars. They'd bring oil. They had to bring oil to Brookings because Brookings had a power plant. It ran on fuel. And the fuel was brought up in barrels. The problem was they had to get the barrels back down to Oakland so they could get filled up and brought back up again. And these things were just a constant nightmare to the company. And as time went on, the socialist movement took over. Men stopped working. They had the AF of L moved in. Ships started that they couldn't hire anybody to move the ships. So the whole thing just kind of collapsed. 1925, it came to a head and they shut the mill down. It took me three and a half, almost 4 years to repair the building and put the building into rentable condition. I was an airplane man. I knew nothing about buildings. When I bought the Central Building in August of 77, I had no idea, none whatsoever, what I was getting into. And it never really came to light until the Brookings Plywood moved out and moved on to their own property down on Railroad. I was in the building and it was raining outside, but I kept hearing rain inside. And finally I discovered that the whole back of the building where the vault is 24 feet high, and the building was built next to the vault so that you had a door leading from the building into the vault. When it would rain, the water was pouring into the building, and it had dry rotted almost every pillar. All the wood in the back of the building had to be replaced. In order to replace it, I had to get jacks and lift the roof off of the plates, the upper plates, and then I also had to cut off all the ends of the ceiling joists because they were all rotted. termites. I found mother termites, the queen. She was as big around as my wrist. And millions of little termites were feeding her. And they were coming up from down below. Outside the building, they were coming up through blackberry vines. They had tunnels of them. You could open up the blackberry vines, and you could see these little guys coming up through there, coming up into the attic. 4 years it took me to do all the work that I had to do to get the building ready to rent again. The things they had done, even Elmer Bankus, good guy, but he blocked off the ventilation to a lot of the rooms, and particularly downstairs. So everything down there was full of termites and carpenter ants. The beams were hollowed out. I'm not even sure what was holding the building up. Some of them were completely hollowed inside. You looked at this beam and it looked really good, but when you started to move it, it was hollow. It just fell apart. I was an airplane man. I knew airplanes. I never worked with wood in my life. But I had a 707 structure repair manual. So I made a lot of my repairs out of steel. And I had a welder down on King Street. And when I would want to splice in heavy beams, I'd draw a splice plate out of quarter inch or less steel. And then I'd take it down, have them cut it out and drill the holes for me, and then I'd bring it back up and jack the building back up to height, and then I'd splice the beams together. And it turned out to be really good, because that was, 38 years ago, and it's still here, so it worked out. But it was a lot of work. It was an unbelievable amount of work that it took to do this. But then I started getting tenants one at a time. My first tenant was in this room, and he and his wife ran the Western Auto next door, just on the other side of the Pinecone Theater, was Western Auto. And the woman run it, her husband was an architect, and he was in here. And his very first job in here was to design the pancake shop. And it was going to be where Reliance Appliance is. He was very happy. He designed the greatest little restaurant you could ever find, and it was going to be a morning pancake and waffle shop. It never materialized. What we got instead was Reliance Appliance, but everybody was hoping we were going to get a waffle shop in town. I had two artists come in. The Breeze Bookstore started here. That was probably 1981. The U.S. Bank across the street on Chetco Avenue hired a new loan officer. And he came in 1979, and his wife came in, and she wanted to know if she could put a little restaurant in here, and it was just going to be ice cream, and she was going to have milkshakes and ice cream sandwiches and whatever. Oh, yeah, she was going beyond that, because she was making her soup at home, and she would bring the soup in the morning, and then she had a kind of a soup kitchen going. That went on until they got transferred out of town. And then it became the Plum Pudding. And I don't know if anybody remembers Madame Plum, but those that remember Madame Plum were, and must have been about 1983. John Kuchikon was still alive. He was the city attorney. And their relationship was really good, because they traded. She needed attorneys. He needed to eat, so she would feed him, and then he would provide her attorney fees for her, or her attorney business. And then Mama come into my life. And that produced the Mama's Italian meals, food. And it was the greatest thing that ever happened to the building, was having her here. She was in her 90s, and she would come in. She would come in at 5 o'clock in the morning and start baking bread. And she would make little rolls, about little toasted rolls, about 3/4 inch to 1 inch in diameter and about 6 inches long. And she'd probably make, she would make a lot of them, and she went through them every day. When she first came to me, she and Tom, her son, they was asking me about this. And she made raviolis when she opened her store on Oak Street. She would fix 300 raviolis at the first of the month. At the end of the month, she still had raviolis left over. She would throw those away and make another 300 to last through the month. When she came into the building, she made 300 raviolis, and in 4 days they were gone. And she had to go buy a big ravioli machine because to keep up with her raviolis. It was just a difference in business. And this was a great place for a restaurant. I always thought the building should just be a restaurant. It could be a nightclub downstairs with a good ballroom and good beer. And upstairs it could be Mama's Italian restaurant, her authentic food. It would have been wonderful. I have a cutout of her that's life size, and she was about 5 feet tall, not quite. She was just wonderful. She was awesome, and bless her heart, after she passed away, people would come from all over Oregon and come in here. Where's Mama? Where's Mama? What happened to Mama's? What happened? The one thing that I'm finding is a lot of people that I knew back when I bought the building, because I was working here day and night. And I knew everybody that went to the post office, because everybody that walked to the post office would always stop and say hello or something. And I always had a lot of wood to give away. Strange trying to give wood away, because they would look at the wood and say, "Can I have that wood?" And I said, "Yeah, you can have that wood." "Well, okay. Yeah, you're going to take the nails out?" "No, if you want the wood, you have to take the nails out." "Well, no, we don't want the wood then." So then I have to haul it to the dump. Elmer Bankus had made a whole bunch of stuff down the basement. It all had to be tore out so I could have stores down there. And that's how the museum got started. I had the greatest little waterbed store downstairs. Jim Emmerich was my first tenant in the basement. And the whole basement was the waterbed store. Jim was really great. I'm sure a lot of people in town know Jim Emmerich today, because he's still with us. After Jim closed down, times were bad, really bad. They got really bad. And nobody wanted to open the store. So I decided, the way I had laid the store out, I had about 900 square feet. And I thought, you know, I've got some really neat stuff that I started out finding in the attic. I found what must have been a 1900 Airways vacuum cleaner. It was just, I never saw anything like it. And I found an old Hoover vacuum cleaner. And these went back, they had to go back to the 1900s. So I thought, if I put this stuff together, I could start a little museum. And it would bring people in. And it did. It really did. And what happened was the wives could come in and shop. The men would go in and they'd go to the museum. Mike Page was a big help. Mike provided a lot of stuff. He always had something he wanted to sell me, and he figured if I wanted to put it in a museum, he'd cut the price in half, which was probably full price. But one little outboard motor he sold me. I was in Hong Kong, and on the other side of Hong Kong is Repulse Bay. And when you're walking over there, and pretty soon some little girl would be walking beside you, pulling on your pants and saying, "Ride my sampan, ride my sampan." I never rode their sampan, but what I discovered was this outboard motor was the same kind of motor that they had on their sampans. And it had a solid shaft, and you just lift the motor up, and that puts the propeller down in the water. And he had one of those. I decided I had to have it in the museum, and he brought it down to me, and that's just kind of how things went. People just came by and said, "I've got this, I've got that. I will go down to that museum and I'll find stuff in the museum that I didn't even know I had down there." And it does give the men something to do. And the storekeepers down there tell me that the men will go off in there and the women will go shopping, and it works out really nice. So I've never taken it out. It's been there now for 30-some years, almost 35 years. I've had a lot of enjoyment out of it.
Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and we are back from listening to Eldon. More great stories. I swear I could listen to that man all day long. In fact, I told him when we were done with the interview that I had to come back and get more, because the stories just go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So, Curtis, you were telling me there's some kind of a slideshow that's...
Yeah, we've got original members of the Brookings family put together a bunch of photographs and put them onto a DVD, and are going to play that over at the Redwood Theater from 4:30 to 6 that evening.
Oh, boy.
On Saturday, the 28th. Wow. So at the end of the day, you can come back and convene there, and he's going to... The gentleman that's doing it is going to put the DVD in and then talk a little bit about the pictures, and it's going to be an audience participation as well. So I'm really looking forward to that. The whole Brookings family, they're making a reunion out of this event. So there's going to be a lot of Brookings family members in attendance on Saturday.
Yeah, oh, that's should be great. Exciting to meet some of the past, you know, relatives of Brookings.
Absolutely.
And this is free to the community.
Oh, so, yeah. That's great. That's great. So people are crazy if they don't make this event.
Yeah, this is all free. Everything is free.
This is amazing.
They got balloons for the kids. We got cake.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
We'll have the mayor there cutting the ribbon. You have an opportunity to listen to some great stories by Eldon. I'm sure he'll be talking some.
Yes.
It's just, I think that if you're not very interested in history, this may change your mind.
Yeah, so. That's great. So let's assume that people manage to miss this event. Mm-hmm. Will they be able to, after the event is over, get this walking tour booklet?
Absolutely, yes. Yes. There are plans to have these booklets here at the Central Building, of course.
Great.
And we've got 1,000 of them. To start with, that's what we got printed.
Great.
And they will be here at the Central Building, and they will also be at the City Hall. And also we'll have some at the Chamber of Commerce Brookings Harbor.
Great.
So
because even if people miss the event on Saturday, the tour is absolutely worth going on.
And it's something you can do at any time.
Exactly.
You know, if you have family that comes in, you know, at a later date,
you can show them some of our history.
That's
great.
Very interesting.
That's great.
The Chetco Inn is another older building too,
mm-hmm.
and that's That'll be on the walking, riding tour.
Excellent.
And that's one to go see. And we have a gentleman there.
A gentleman, Ken Ketchum, that does model building. And he was recently featured in the Pilot newspaper.
Right.
They wrote a big story about him.
I
he
saw
builds
that.
Models. He's a former construction worker who's fighting Parkinson's disease, actually. And he says by building these models, it actually keeps him from doing that.
Oh,
so we're looking forward
great.
To seeing him and listening to him
Good.
Talk also.
Good. Thank you both so much for agreeing to come on and talk. And thank you once again for your efforts, because, as we know, it's all about volunteering in this
Absolutely.
Community. So thank you very much. This
thank
is
you.
Candace Michelle for KCIW. And our community. And please, if you enjoy these podcasts, go on our website and feel free to donate to our cause so that we can actually get our equipment and be on the air. It's kciw.org. Thank you so much.